Oh, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Mental Corner Podcast, the show where I bring on guests from all different backgrounds to talk all the things mental health. I've missed you guys so much and I'm so excited to get right back into it. So of course, I'm your host, Harry Pavin, and it has been a while. You know, the last episode with Tay, episode 100, came out November 14th and it is currently January 9th. So in my personal life, a lot of stuff's been going on. You know, I've kept busy. Your boy got the COVID. Yes, it was not fun. I won't dive into it because I feel like most people are getting it now, this variant, super transmissible, but yeah, it kicked my ass. I'm not going to lie. It really kicked my ass, but we're getting back on track. The energy's starting to come back, and we'll get right back into it. So I hope you guys are all staying safe, staying healthy, and you know, trying to find the light out of this craziness that's going on right now. So for episode one today, I am joined by the awesome Michael Durst. Michael is a former Muay Thai champion and the owner of Oomph Fitness, which is the number one kickboxing fitness app on the App Store. Michael was such a blast to have on for episode one, and I really want to thank him again for coming on and having this discussion with me. Now, if you've been here before, you know the drill, but if you haven't and you're just starting to listen, please like, comment, share, subscribe, give 5 stars if you're on that podcast platform, share with someone who might want to hear this episode. It's a really great one, and I can't wait for you to listen. God, it feels so good to say that again. Oh, I'm so pumped. I'll talk to y'all very soon. Enjoy episode one of season four. Peace. All right, we're good to go. Michael, what's going on, man? Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Happy to be here.
So the biggest question of all I have for you is right at the beginning. So what kind of got you started into the sport of Muay Thai? What kind of pushed you into it?
Yeah, so basically what happened is I started in university. So it was my first year in university. I saw a Muay Thai class that was offered at the gym there. And it was funny because I had no previous experience in martial arts. It's just something I've always loved, you know, watching on TV, loved watching in movies, and I just really connected with the martial arts kind of vibe, especially striking. So at the university, they actually had a list of classes of all the different martial arts. They had BJJ, Taekwondo, and I read the description of Muay Thai. I literally hadn't heard about it at all prior to that. And it was all about striking, these elbows, kicks, and the technical aspect of it. So that really got my attention and I connected with a lot. And funny enough, though, at the time I had, you know, a lot of bad habits, which we can kind of get into, but drinking was one of the big ones. And I actually signed up for the course, paid the $350 for the year to go to the gym, which is like a university discount. And I didn't show up to a single class because I was hungover every single weekend. So I was like, Saturday is my day, I'm going to go train. And I never went to a single class. So I did that for a whole year, believe it or not. So the second year, I signed up for the same class. I was like, you know what, I'm going to go this time. You know, that was kind of a waste of money. And I really want to give this a try. So I went to that first class, and that first class kind of like changed everything for me. I fell in love with the sport. It was so much fun. And that's kind of the origin of how it all started.
Now, did the coaches remember you when you came in that second year? And they're like, oh, it's this guy.
I never went in the first year.
Oh, that's true.
I literally, yeah. I didn't go to a single class. So I paid for it. They probably saw my name on the like label. But yeah, I never actually showed up.
Oh, man. And when you finally got in there, was it kind of like, because I'm still very new into the Muay Thai sport. It's only been like a year and a bit for me. But I remember my first practice. I was like, you know what? I was a swimmer. I was a swimmer for like 11 years. I'll be fine. It's just another sport. And then I get onto that bag and I just got my absolute ass kicked. It was unbelievable. Did you have like a similar experience where you were like, what did I just sign up for?
Oh yeah. Heck yeah. It was, obviously Muay Thai is one of the most demanding things on your body ever. And especially the traditional aspect, the coaches, they're not joking around. So it's very much do the reps, do the work. And it was deadly. I remember at my first class, I had like super shaggy hair. I was just a stoner kid, basically showed up. No one expected me to go anywhere with it. And yeah, but I remember it was an absolute deadly workout. Super challenging. Lots of sweat.
That's the thing. Yeah. I used to have to go in with a hat on because I was just dripping on my face. Man. And so those bad habits that you mentioned, like aside from the drinking, like what were the other bad habits that you had kind of grown into in university?
Yeah. So yeah, totally. So it's funny because, you know, I actually started drinking at a not super young age, 14 years old, but I remember my first time having a drink at 14, and that snowballed for me into a lot of heavy drinking every weekend. And it's something, it sounds super normal when it's like, oh, it's just university kids, it's just young kids, they're having fun. But what I found is that it was actually a overuse and abuse of alcohol every single weekend. So as soon as I started age 14, every single weekend, it was getting absolutely blackout drunk. I remember my friends and I, we even had a game called Blackout, and the whole purpose was to just get so drunk that you pass out, you know, just totally ridiculous. And, you know, as I got older, it started to become not such a fun thing anymore. You know what I mean? It was just like, okay, I'm getting older, I'm still getting drunk. But at the time, I didn't know that. I didn't acknowledge that. And it led into other things. So I started smoking cigarettes at a very young age, 15 years old. That kept going. And by the time I hit university, I was smoking a pack and a half of cigarettes a day, smoking weed 5 times a day. And then those things led into harder drugs like MDMA and cocaine, especially as I got older, and just going on weekend benders, week benders. So it just got really, really bad. And Muay Thai hit at the kind of pinnacle of that for me. So my first class was when I was kind of deep into all of these bad habits. And that's kind of what started the slow and then rapid change in my own personal life just from the training. Mm.
Now, with the bad habits, like did you feel their impact as you were starting to train Muay Thai? Like, did it become apparent that, yeah, this stuff is really deteriorating my body?
Yeah, absolutely. And funny enough, it wasn't a conscious thing for me. I was just, it was my lifestyle. So when you're into those sort of bad habits and you're drinking every weekend, you're pounding back 40 beers a weekend, or you're doing all these terrible things to your body, it's a lifestyle. So you're hanging around with people that are doing the same thing. And it's not that they're bad people. They just have those types of habits. They may go to the bar every weekend and you get sucked into that. So it's almost like a lifestyle, and you're not aware of what you're doing to your body. You're not aware of, oh, other people don't actually do this. You know, this isn't normal. Right. So for me, it did sort of shed some light on that awareness, where I'd be going to the gym and I'd be leaving the gym class, I'd be smoking my cigarettes. My gym partners would be like, hey, oh, you smoke? Oh, it's kind of weird. Mm. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess it is. So it kind of started opening up some, or like shedding light on those habits. And then what really started kicking in for me was, as I got more and more into Muay Thai, I also got more and more into the tradition, into the discipline, the self-respect, into the respect of the coaches. And from there, when you start fighting, then that's a hard showstopper as far as drinking and smoking, all those bad things. It's like, hey, not only can you not drink for, you know, 2 months leading up to this fight, but you also have to eat healthy. You also have to cut weight. You also have to hydrate. You also have to do all these things that I just totally had abandoned my entire kind of young adult life. So when I first started fighting, that was the first kind of taste for me of, oh, I can actually go an extended period without drinking. And it was the first time I had done that since I was a, you know, young 13, 14 year old kid. So like, it's crazy to think now, but from 14 to 21, I literally hadn't gone more than a week without getting absolutely drunk. So Muay Thai opened up that door and said, hey, you've got to stop drinking because you have a fight coming up. So those kind of habits that I learned through martial arts is really what ultimately kind of transformed my life in the long run. Mm.
It almost like just pushed you right into it. It didn't even like let you have a gradual like release. It was like, no, you better cut the shit out right now.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
Man, that's awesome. And like when you first started getting rid of these bad habits for the sake of Muay Thai, like how quickly did you feel like the positive impact after you decided to finally shift your habits?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It was pretty quick. And the funny thing, which we can kind of get into a little bit more, but I almost had a bit of a yo-yo effect at the beginning, where I would train really hard, see the benefits. And then when the fight was done, I'd kind of go and relapse, you know, and get back into the partying. And it was almost a justification of, oh, I worked so hard, now that I'm done the fight, I can, you know, have fun for a week or two. Right. And then I would start the fighting process again. So that's kind of how I did it at the beginning. But, you know, eventually you start to see that even if you're, you know, using it in pockets like that, it's still going to affect your health, not only physical health, but mental health as well. Mm-hmm. And what I found, especially, which we can talk about a little bit, is just the community aspect of being around people that are passionate about fitness and about health and wellness. And, you know, you're starting to shape a new identity as you're hanging out with these types of people. And when you hang out with your other group of friends, you're starting to see the patterns are kind of coming to light. It's like, oh, this group kind of likes to drink and do the things that aren't serving me very well. And this group likes to do the things that are serving me very well. So I'm going to start to migrate to the other group, you know?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did you start that migration? Was that tough? Like, cause I'm assuming your friends who you picked up the bad habits with, you had been friends with for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So how were you able to kind of make that transition? Was it tough?
Yeah, absolutely. And what's crazy about that is that actually didn't happen as far as like a full transition until a lot later on. And we can talk about that. But really, that yo-yo effect that I had kind of lasted my entire fight career. So although I was super dedicated for those long stints of time, especially if I had tournaments or a couple of fights after another, I'd have those very long, drawn out time of wellness and health and fitness. But then I'd always go back to drinking. So it actually wasn't until later on when I wanted to start a fitness company that my full transition kind of took place. And to answer your question, it's one of the hardest things in the world to do that, to stop hanging out with people that, and I, you know, the one thing I want to reiterate, it's not like they're bad people, you know,
right.
These are good friends of mine. I'm still friends with them today, but if they're going to the bar every weekend, if they're, you know, that's what they want to do for fun, that's great for them. But for me, it wasn't serving me. And I wanted to become a peak athlete and start, you know, really treating my body well. So that transition is super painful. And you'll have some friends that will understand and support you and give you positive messages, which is awesome. And you'll have other friends that don't understand and get really hurt that you're not hanging out with them, right? And I think that transition is really hard to do, but it takes courage. And at the end of the day, it's for your better health and wellness. So not only physical, but mental as well. You want to be around people that are supporting you and have the same vision and like mind as you, so that when you're doing these things, whether it's health, business, whatever, you're around people that are supporting you and you can go hang out with them and talk about the future, talk about what's coming next, as opposed to who got drunk last weekend. So it is a very hard transition, but anyone that's going through that right now, I would say just stick with it. It's worth it in the end. And I'll never forget, just like a fun little story. It seems so insignificant now, but I had a group chat with a bunch of these friends that I'd hang out with. And just that act of leaving that chat was actually took a lot of courage for me, because it was like, what are they going to think? I don't want to be in this chat that's just constantly talking about what's happening the next weekend, who's going out where. And I decided to leave that chat as a group that we'd had for over like 3 years, 4 years. And that simple act, which sounds so insignificant, was a big deal for me, because kind of it was a statement that, hey, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be talking about these things with you guys anymore. And I left that chat. So anyways, I think the point is, for anyone that's going through this, you just have to stick with your guns and try and find people that you can surround yourself with that are going to motivate you and encourage you and really just have your best interest in mind, you know?
Right. Yeah. 100%. That little exit from the group chat, honestly, is terrifying, because when you exit, it shows that notification to everyone. And so it's not like you can just sneakily leave and people are like, oh, where'd he go? It's right there. It's like, yeah, he ditched you guys.
Everyone sees. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. No, I completely relate, because the group of friends I have now are incredible. And I, in the same respect as you, like, we talk about the future and we talk about how each of us are growing individually, but also as a group. And I think that was one of my main priorities in friends, is that, you know, I want friends that I can grow with. It's kind of like a relationship in that regard, where it's like, I want to grow with you. And so having friends like that now throughout high school, you're kind of weeding out the ones that are kind of stuck there, not in a bad way per se, but, or their values are completely different than yours. And it's tough, because you grew up with these people, but I mean, you can still be distant friends or acquaintances. You don't have to completely cut them out. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, you have to do what's right for you.
And I totally agree with you, especially as you get older. Cause when I made this transition, I was, you know, 25, 26 years old. So at that point, your identity is kind of solidified. You're in a group that all hangs out together. So it's not like you can leave and go off to university and just kind of subtly change paths and start hanging out with new people, right?
Right.
So I think for whether you're young or old, either way, it's going to be super challenging. But for me, it was like I was already in this group and had been for so many years that it was such a blow to just up and leave. So it caught a lot of people off guard, but I think it's so necessary. And to your point, when you're around people that support you, there's no greater feeling than having a group that you know, when you have a win in business or in fitness or whatever, you can shoot a message out to them and you'll get replies just being like, hey, great job. You know, you got this, we got your back. Like there's nothing better than that. And to me, from my personal experience, I would never feel comfortable sending a win kind of text to that old group of friends, like, hey, I just hit this new goal. They'd be like, so, you know, so I think that's one of the most powerful things is getting around people that will support you.
Yeah, for sure. And I've had people ask me like, you know, how do you deal with people that comment bad things or message you nasty things, or how do you stay motivated? It's like, well, it's not me. Like a lot of the reason why I'm still going is that I have friends behind me who are always like, let's go. And you tell them your accomplishments, like, hey, I did this, or the show did that, blah, blah, blah. And they're always like hyping you up. You have to be your hype man first. You have to be your own hype man, but you got to have someone else too.
For sure. And I think to that point, one thing I will say for if anyone's kind of at that beginning stage, or they've just decided like, hey, I want to kind of make a shift here. You know, for me, it took me a long time to find a new group. And I just want to encourage anyone that's out there that is in the beginning stages of this. When I kind of decided, hey, I want to start hanging out with a different type of group of people. When I left that group, I didn't have other people to turn to. I literally had two people, my family, obviously, I'm a very supportive family and fiance, but from a friend's standpoint, I had one friend in business and my brother-in-law and my brother. So those were kind of my three. So I was very fortunate to have them. But you know, with family, you don't hang out with them that often. There's a different vibe with family versus friends. So I had one guy that I would go and hang out with, you know, once every month or two. And it literally took me 2.5 years to find a group of guys and kind of, you know, find a place where I could go and have these relationships. So it was a very long time. And I remember my fiance would be like, so you, like, you're only hanging out with one or two friends now? Like, you don't have any friends? And I was like, well, not right now, really. And it took a long time to build that. So I just want to encourage anyone that's starting out that it may take some time. But if you stick with it and you stick with your personal development, you stick with reading your books and just trying to grow and be the best person of yourself, those people will slowly start to be attracted to you. And if you have a social page and you're starting to post these things, you might get all of your friends commenting, kind of joking, like kind of mean, but they're sort of joking, but sort of not comments on your posts. But you might attract that one person that's like, oh, that's really cool. And that person is going to reach out to you. It might take 3 months. It might take a year. So just keep at it and it'll happen.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of like social media in that regard, where people are always looking for that instant gratification or instant friend or instant whatever. It never works like that unless you buy it. But
yeah,
man. So I wanted to go back to the whole yo-yo thing. Now from the outside looking in, you're not in that situation anymore, but kind of reflecting back on that, what was the impact that you felt on your mental and physical when you would do this super healthy cleanse going into a competition, then right after going right back to those bad habits? Like, what did you kind of feel that cycle?
Yeah, there was always a sense of guilt for sure when I was going back and going to the bars and doing all these different things. But it really hit a pinnacle. So I'll tell you a quick story. Maybe this is a kind of a good transition into the business. But basically, you know, after I stopped fighting, and I was still training very often, but when I decided, okay, I'm done fighting, I want to focus on my career in advertising, that is kind of when things started to unravel a little bit for me. And on the outside, everything looked good. I was rising the ranks in an advertising company, doing very well there. But because I wasn't fighting, I didn't have that sense of discipline. And with advertising, it's an industry that promotes drinking, it promotes parties, and it's actually a lot of fun if you're into that sort of thing. But I found myself slowly but surely getting back into those old habits, getting back into the heavy drinking, drugs, cigarettes. I remember I was at an advertising party and I smoked half a pack of cigarettes. I remember looking down like, I quit. I don't even know why I'm doing this. So that was kind of where I'd found myself after stopping with Muay Thai and fighting. And obviously still training, health is super important in the industry. I was known as like the fighter, the super healthy guy. But because it was such an industry that promoted alcohol, I had like literally a fully stacked bar in my office. So we would like have drinks after work every day and all these things. So I found myself kind of slowly getting back into it. And the big shift for me was I went on a Euro trip with a bunch of friends from that old group. And it was just an absolute shit show, pardon my French,
right,
of a trip. You know, it just was brutal. We just partied the whole trip. I took a month off. So the first 3 weeks I was with my friends. And then the last week I met up with my company for the Cannes Film Festival. And it was basically like a 4 week bender. And I remember getting back from that trip and sitting on the couch in my small apartment with my roommate. And it just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. Like I am totally relapsing back into my old ways, my old habits. And it was a lot of fun, sure, but it just wasn't a healthy option for me, especially the volume that was going on during that trip. So that was like the big moment for me. I remember specifically sitting on the couch being like, what am I doing with my life? And that is what sparked the change. So that's kind of where the idea for the company came from, because I was like, I need to work in an industry that is promoting health and fitness so that I can fix myself and work on myself and not be around people. And again, it goes back to your environment, not being around people that are promoting drinking. And again, it's not like everyone around you is a terrible person. That was just my struggle, was I had a problem with being able to say no to alcohol and being able to say no to the next drink. So it's not like the entire advertising industry is terrible. It's not like all my old friends are terrible people. It was something within me that I had to work on, because I couldn't just have one drink and be fine. You know, it was always another one and another one. So I had to start to make a big mental shift with who I hung out with, what I wanted to do with my life. And that's kind of where everything started for the business.
I think the way you look at that is so important too, because it's one thing to, you know, blame others for why you're kind of in this hole. It's another one to take a step back and be mature enough to go, maybe it's got something to do with myself. I think that's one of the hardest things for people. It was one of the hardest things for me when I was trying to go through my own mental health recovery, is that, you know, it was so easy for me to blame, like, oh, they did this to me. Oh, it's because I was doing this. It's because they were doing that. When in reality, like, a lot of it starts with you at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And I think that's a huge point, because taking responsibility for your life and for where you're at is kind of the first step to transformation. Because if you're always blaming other people, you're never taking the responsibility on yourself. And if you're blaming other people, you're shifting the responsibility to them. And it's giving you an excuse to not change, to not work on yourself. And I think it takes a lot of courage to take the responsibility, because it means accepting that you're wrong and accepting that maybe you don't have your stuff together and you need to figure it out. So that's something that I see all the time, is people, especially in fitness, blaming their circumstance, blaming the time that they have in the day, blaming everyone else except themselves. And at the end of the day, no one can change you except you.
Right.
So if you're able to take that responsibility on and take action towards a better you, that's, you know, that's magic right there.
Yeah, for sure. You're already a step ahead of everyone else.
100%.
Now, getting the app developed, forgive me if I pronounce it wrong. It's Oomph.
Yep.
Oomph. Yeah. So getting that app developed, what was it like? I have no idea how to develop an app. I am nowhere near that space. So was it kind of difficult to get that off the ground?
Yeah. So I'll kind of give you the quick backstory to how the app got started. So basically what happened was, like I said, in that moment on the couch, I was like, I need to make a change. So I decided, okay, I want to start sharing my knowledge of Muay Thai and martial arts to other people, and just as kind of like a feel good project. So I decided, you know, to start a fitness Instagram page. And it was almost like something to keep me accountable to myself. I was like, if I start sharing stuff, it's going to help me stay accountable to what I want to do. So I started a fitness Instagram page. I started posting at home workouts like every day. And I just saw a lot of traction, more than I had actually expected. So I was starting to get thousands of views on my videos and my workouts, and people were commenting on them and asking me questions about the at-home kickboxing, Muay Thai workouts, and bodyweight workouts I was posting. So I actually started having a lot of fun. And it was always the goal with it was, I want to try and make a change in myself. So I'm going to share this with others. And it started to kind of pick up momentum. So from there, I saw a lot of people were actually looking forward to the weekly workouts and they're asking me questions. So I decided to make an ebook. So I built out a 100-page ebook, started giving that to people. And there was just a lot of momentum happening. So from there, my dad and my uncle actually own a software company. So they saw what I was doing. And my dad said, hey, have you thought about maybe doing an app together, partnering together and making a fitness app, because you're getting so much traction from this. So that was an awesome opportunity. So the three of us, my dad, my uncle, and myself partnered together to create a fitness app from scratch. So they had a CRM software company. So they were completely new in the fitness space. And we were all kind of new in building a fitness company together, mm-hmm. but we made it happen. So we basically started from nothing with scratch and started filming the workouts. We made so many mistakes along the way. It was ridiculous. But eventually we released a product we were super proud of. And then from there, we've just been continually improving it. So now it's one of the number one kickboxing workouts in the App Store. So super proud of that. But that's kind of the origin story. And like while I was building up that Instagram page, I was also collecting emails. So I built up an email list to like 300 people. So when we first launched the app, we did a big blast of the email list and we were working with a bunch of influencers. That's kind of how it all started.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome, man. And like how did your experience with Muay Thai come into play in terms of like discipline and when you made a mistake or when things didn't go according to your plan in your head? Like how did that Muay Thai discipline and training and resilience kind of translate into all of that?
It's such a good question, man. And honestly, martial arts is such a good measuring stick for being an entrepreneur. And there's just so many correlations between the two. And it's so funny because training for a fight, it's one of the hardest things you can do. It's honestly so physically and mentally taxing. Mm-hmm. There's so many nerves. You're going into the ring not knowing the outcome. You're really putting your life on the line when you step into that ring. And it's terrifying, right?
Right.
And the training to get to that point is also just absolutely brutal. It's, you know, twice a day, 6 days a week. You're literally pushing your body to its mental and physical edge to get to that end point. So with entrepreneurship, it's just so similar. I can't even like describe it. It's because the reality is with entrepreneurship, it's extremely challenging. As you know, it's a very, very hard thing to do. It's super hard to create something from nothing. It's super hard to make the sacrifices that are necessary to build a big business. It's really hard to wake up every day, do your morning routine, and go to work with intention and power and work longer than other people are willing to work to get your dream lifted off. So with martial arts, a lot of it has to do with discipline. So being able to stay disciplined. The crazy thing with entrepreneurship though, it's not like there's a fight that ends and then you're done. You can take a break, right? It's ongoing. But I think that the discipline is the cornerstone of being an entrepreneur. And being able to always stay consistent and put out fires and stay calm when your team is freaking out. Always having that stoic kind of attitude towards it where we're going to get to where we're going and I'm going to take you there, but we just have to take these steps and do that every single day. So I think that there's so many correlations and I'm so thankful that I have my experience in martial arts to feed me during my business journey, because without those things, I don't think I'd be able to make it happen from where I started. Anyways, there's just so much I learned from martial arts that's translated to business.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And now that you're in the position that you are in, you know, you've gone through the bad habits, you've kicked them out. You're in the position now where you have one of the number one apps in the store and you're mentally and physically in shape. Do you still ever get the urge? Not urge. I don't want to say that, but do you ever get waves of, oh, I want to get back into those bad habits?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, the thing about habits is that it's almost like you're creating a new identity when you're working on yourself to be a better person. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really matter how far you travel down the road, the ditch is always 3 feet away. So, you know, just because you can kick something doesn't mean it doesn't pop up in your mind, you know, and that's why I personally really believe in setting up systems and processes and making sure that I have kind of goals that I want to hit every month so that I am not going back into those old things. So to answer your question, I think it's totally doable to create a new identity and mindset where, you know, those things become so low in your mind that you don't even think about them, but it'll pop up every once in a while. We're all human. And I think that no matter how far you go, it's not like you're a robot and you just don't think about, you know, some of your struggles. Things are going to come up. Painful things happen in life where you're like, oh, I just want to drink 5 beers because I'm just like so stressed, right? Like right. Things happen and it's going to trigger certain old habits. But I think the power comes in creating an identity and a lifestyle that can support you. So when you're in those hard times and that identity, that, you know, thought pops up, you can think, you know what? No, I'm going to go meditate. I'm going to take a couple breaths and then I'm going to get back at it. So I think that always having, you know, something that you can rely on that is not the bad habit, like a new habit that you can rely on, like meditation, working out, anything that fills your cup, whether that's journaling or whatever, that's going to help you when those thoughts come up.
Yeah, that's huge, man. Because when I was, like, for me personally, when I was going through, I would get those bad thoughts again, or I would get into that, I would fall into that funk again. And at the very beginning, I had nothing to fall back on. So once, like you said, when you don't have that other thing to fall back on, or you don't have that other outlet, like now I'll, you know, I know what to watch on YouTube or whatever when I'm right. feeling it. I know I like playing basketball. I like writing. I like doing these things. I like listening to music. But before I knew any of that, it was so easy to just fall right back in because I looked around. I'm like, well, shit, I've got nothing.
Right. Yeah, man. It's so true. And I think, too, one of the things that helps me deal with that is I like to set challenges for myself. Mm. And the goal of my personal challenges is to fuel the identity that I want to have, to fuel the person that I want to be. So one of the things that I did just this past year in 2021 is every other month I did a challenge. So every second month I did no drinking, no alcohol at all, no junk food, cold shower every day, read 10 pages a day, meditate 10 minutes a day. And I did that every other month. So 6 months out of the year, I had all of those things working for me. And that, those are the types of challenges that really are powerful in creating that identity shift. Because like you said, there's going to be times when things come up and you're going to want to go back to the old you, the old self. And when you do these sort of challenges or mini things for yourself to build on the identity, it's almost like confidence, right? Confidence compounds. It's like a snowball. So the more you do something, the more confidence you have behind it. So this past year was awesome for me because I didn't drink for 180 days of the year or whatever it was. Mm. And that gives me confidence because I'm like, damn, if I can do that, I can do a whole year. Like I'm thinking next year, just cutting it completely, you know? So I think having those little challenges for yourself, for me anyways, that really helps me shift and make the identity of the person I want to be. And it really gives me energy and power and fuel because I know that I do it. You know, the one thing with confidence is the more you do something, the more confident you are that you can do it again. Right. So that to me is really helpful in creating an identity that you want for yourself.
Now, is that something you learned from Muay Thai as well, or did you always kind of have that kind of knowledge on confidence prior to that?
I think it was just something learned from, you know, experience in life.
Right.
You know, the more you do something, the more confident you get. It's like, it definitely shows up in martial arts. I'll never forget the fights where I did my worst, I was the least prepared for. The fights that I did my best, I walked into that fight knowing, you know what, I did every possible thing to prepare for this fight. So whatever happens in there is going to happen. It's out of my control, but I know for a fact that I trained my hardest. I picked the hardest sparring partners. I put in the extra work. So there's nothing else that I can do except go fight now. So I think that preparation is key in building that confidence. And the more you do something, the bigger the habit's going to get.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess like one of the big final questions for you that I have, you know, we're heading, once this comes out, we'll be in the beginning of 2022, but we're kind of heading into it now. And with everything, you know, relatively up in the air in terms of whatever the hell is going to happen next, I don't even know. I just sit back and let it all unfold. But what would be the best advice that you would give to people out there who are kind of struggling right now with this sense of uncertainty or like this anxiety of, oh, what's next? Like, what's the next big thing that's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you're right. No one knows what is going to happen. And it's been a really crazy year. But I think one of the big things that helps is building or getting around a community, like we talked about earlier. For me anyways, knowing that you're not alone and that other people have your back is so huge. So for people out there that don't have that, I would just start looking. Start messaging people that you follow that you know, are kind of on the same page as where your mindset is. Start reaching out to people. Join a men or women's group that you can do a monthly or weekly call with. You know, mastermind groups are so important, excuse me, for getting around those people and learning from them. And I can't tell you the power in being around people that are at the same level as you, but also people that are way above you, and getting around that influence, because proximity has power. So I think that when you're around people that are like-minded, that are, you know, looking for your best interest, that is super powerful. And I think as far as just like dealing with uncertainty, taking it day by day, you know, setting a goal for the week, the day, for the month, and just take small actions. You know, it doesn't have to be this big grand event that takes place in your life. You just have to get started. So if you're kind of like not sure of what's going to happen, you're not sure of where you want to go in life or what you want to be or do, just start taking small daily actions, start formulating those habits, and just keep at it. You know, persistence is one of the biggest things. Is if you can stay persistent with your personal development, with your health, with getting around people, and you don't give up, and you just know that there are other people out there like you. I think that's super important for people to hear, because it can be so easy to get stuck in this mindset that, oh, I'm all alone and I can't do this by myself. There are other people that are out there that are like you, exactly like you. And they have the same goals, the same visions as you. So you're not alone. Take those daily steps, start reaching out to people that are of like mind, and great things will happen.
Mm. Yeah, that's something that a lot of people have a hard time grasping, is that there are other people not exactly like you, but that you will get along with just fine.
100%.
Man. So where can, if listeners are tuned in, like where can they find you? Where can they find the app if they want to download it? Like, where can they get all your info?
Yeah, so on Instagram, it's just my name, Michael K. Durst. The app on Instagram is oomph_app, or you can just search in the app store, oomph, which is OOMPH.
I love it, man. I will put those links down below. Michael, thank you for coming on, bro. This has been a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
To all my listeners, I will see you guys next time.